Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Frenari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back. I'm Corinne Frenari, physician assistant, clinical nutritionist, with my co-host,
Carol Peterson, pharmacist, renegade pharmacist.
Renegade pharmacist. Well, I'm a renegade physician assistant. So we go.
Good. There's a pair of us.
Listen, wait till you hear this, Carol. Now, be calm. Don't get hysterical. Today, our subject is on PMS, PCOS, endometriosis, all the things that affect young people, young women, and they're really not informed enough to be able to deal with this. Now, wait till when I read this, Carol. Don't get mad at me.
Okay.
Don't kill the messenger.
Okay. Pins and needles.
I went to Cleveland Clinic to help prepare for the show, and I was looking up PMS, which really can be a problem for young women. It creates anxiety, depression, pain, nausea, vomiting, and headaches, and it goes on, swelling. It goes on. So many young women end up staying home from school for a couple of days a month just from the fact that they suffer the symptoms of PMS. So I looked up PMS under Cleveland Clinic, and I'm reading through, and it says, how do you fix PMS syndrome? So this is what it says. You can't fix PMS syndrome. You can manage it. Slightly with lifestyle modifications and medication. The ultimate PMS fix is menopause. I told you you were going to get
it. Oh my gosh.
That's on Cleveland Clinic. So young women who are looking for help, this is what they're told. And then they go to their doctors, and what do they get? They get diuretics. They get antidepressants. They get hormones. I remember when I got...
Not hormones, birth control pills.
Birth control pills, that's what I mean. I'm sorry. Birth control pills.
Not really a hormone.
Yeah, which block their periods and end up creating total disarray in their cycle, sometimes completely interfering with their thyroid and making them hypothyroid so they gain weight, but also blocking sex hormone binding globulin, and they end up feeling, here they're on birth control pills, and they end up feeling asexual. Yep. So here, these are our solutions, Carol. Is this it, or is there more?
Oh, so there's so much more. And that's really the problem. I'm beginning to think there's a grand conspiracy going on.
You're beginning.
There is a huge conspiracy going on. And it's practitioners. They go to medical school. They usually have some science. Before they're allowed into medical school, they have to learn a little physiology, a little biochemistry, but somehow
they learn about the body's endocrine cycles. Go on.
Right. So as soon as they open the door to that medical school, poof, it goes away. And we are into another, a whole new way of learning how to treat people. And I call it the curse of flowchart medicine. And as you work on this flowchart, if this, then that, the solutions presented to you are only the pharma solutions and the surgery solutions, which are quite alarming. And there's so much more. So let's just talk about the menstrual cycle. So what happens each cycle? So day one of the cycle is first day of bleeding.
Oh, can I interrupt you here and then I'll let you go on? We want to hear from you. If you are suffering from PMS, if you know someone that's suffering from either PMS, PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, and or infertility in young women, we want to discuss all this, and we want to discuss it with you. This is not a lecture. This is a conversation, and it becomes a conversation when you call in. So the number to call is 212-209-2877, and we'd like to hear from you. Carol, go on. I'm sorry I interrupted.
Okay, so the idealized cycle length is 28 days. Day one, first day of bleeding, mid-cycle, day 14, your body will ovulate. You have follicular stimulating hormone, will stimulate the release of an egg. And then as this egg is released, that egg produces an abundant amount of progesterone, which ultimately will help you shed the endometrium that you built up in the first 14 days under the influence of estrogen. Estrogen is the hormone that builds up tissue. It's anabolic. So that layer that's built up every month, and should you get pregnant, you want to have that. That's sort of like the bedding for the newly fertilized fetus. If you don't get pregnant, progesterone helps you get rid of it, and the whole cycle starts again. So this cycle, mid-cycle to the end, when bleeding starts, day one begins again, from ovulation to day one, has been particularly problematic for women for eons, I believe. We even call it the curse, right?
But is it a curse? Is it supposed to be a curse?
It's not supposed to be a curse.
I don't think it always was a curse. It became a curse as we changed our eating habits, as we changed our lifestyle, as we literally got electricity and started staying up late and not following our own natural circadian rhythms. When we stopped eating meals and we stopped eating together, grabbing food, walking along the street, eating pizza, this all added to and created a curse that we're paying for, and we don't understand the price of what we're doing. And that's what we're here to discuss with you, the price. The price is high, is it not, Carol?
It is. So one of the things that, well, let's cover PMS. So premenstrual syndrome, this list of symptoms that women are experiencing was first identified by Dr. Katarina Dalton, and this has been over 50 years ago. And I've heard tell it takes 50 years for a new idea to become incorporated, but I cry for us all because this is not. In fact, it's getting suppressed in many ways and in the medical industry. So we get symptoms such as water retention, breast tenderness, breast enlargement, headaches, constipation or diarrhea, could be pain, could be lots of pain. That's the pain that sends young women to bed for a couple days a month. Or there are young women who are incapacitated for 2 weeks out of every month. And it's called a more severe form of PMS. We talked about PMDD. Premenstrual dysphoric disorder, which Big Pharma has captured the emotional symptoms of PMS, as described by Katarina Dalton, made it a new disease and said, oh, these SSRIs, the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, are the ideal drug to treat this. Yet, there are so many treatment failures, and so many young women go through decades of pain and agony because of the curse.
But there's something else also that's so important, because when we're using the SSRIs, sometimes they're effective, but we're not told that they can become very addictive and become very, very difficult to withdraw from. And so here you're being given a chemical that changes your brain and changes your brain physiology and also the chemical response to emotion. And then when you try to get off of it and you say, oh, I want to see what I can do without it, very often what happens? You start getting these shocks in your brain. Some people pass out. Some people get severe anxiety. It becomes quite significant trying to withdraw from these medicines. And people are not being informed, especially young women, are not being informed of the possible risk that they're taking in looking for a shortcut to work to get out of this very painful syndrome that they're caught into monthly. Go on, Carol.
The SSRIs in particular do something rather nasty. It blocks our testosterone. And testosterone is a sex hormone too. It's partially responsible for our libido, our interest in sex. But it's also really, really important for maintaining our body and our immune system. All proteins are under the direction of testosterone as they are created. So we are actually damaging our ability to repair our body, and also mentally our ability to have this zest for life, leaving us lethargic and laying in bed and moaning and groaning because we have pain. So I'd like to take one of these symptoms, if I could, Corinne, because
to one thing is that this time of life is really a time of life of joy. It's a time of life of energy, or can be. But if we're suppressing our hormones, what happens to our sexuality? What happens to our energy? What happens to our response to life? We have to look at that and see really and truly that what is happening to us as a being as we're trying to work through our symptoms. Go on, Carol.
Okay, I wanted to bring this one up because it comes up all the time and I wanted some clarity in what it means. So let me ask you first, Corinne. What do you think it means when a young woman tells you she is bloated?
Well, it can be a couple of things. One, I need to know about her bowel habits, because so many young women, so many people are totally constipated, and they go from constipation to diarrhea and diarrhea to constipation. I see that all the time in my office. So when they're bloated, I look at their bowel habits. I look at their digestion. And I also want to support their gallbladder so that adequate fat is being released, which is cholesterol. So it allows a peristalsis or movement through the intestines to help bile move through. If we don't have adequate bile through the gallbladder, we're not going to get our bowels moving and we're not going to balance our hormones. That's one piece of it. Another is they're eating garbage. Straightforward. They're eating garbage. Oh, what do you mean? Pizza, nachos, chips, sodas. Oh my God, I would be so bloated. I would want to pass out with that kind of diet, which we see.
Probably having some cravings. Now, this is a time in the luteal phase, the second part of the cycle where all the pain occurs. We may have some distortions in our microbiome favoring candida. Our body's producing more progesterone, and progesterone will allow an existing candida overgrowth to grow more. There are some of the immune proteins that progesterone suppresses. This enables us to carry an alien baby to term without rejecting it. The same immune suppression that occurs for pregnancy also allows candida to grow in exuberance if you feed it with some of the stuff you just said. So that candida overgrowth in turn can cause those bowel problems, constipation, diarrhea. It can cause cramping. You have a lot of toxins being released. And we have a craving that's insatiable because the microbiome wants more sugar, wants more simple carbohydrates, wants. And so our bellies get distended and we get distended with gas. There's sometimes gas there and there's burping. And sometimes the gas is pretty smelly when you toot because all of this microbiome disorganization is a problem. If your microbiome is healthy, you might pass a little gas, but you won't smell anything and you won't disturb your friends and family.
So I want to tell a story of a patient. Do we have time? I want to tell a story of a patient that came to my office for severe PMS. And what I found out was her bowels were so backed up. She was passing bowel once every 4 to 5 days. And she said, but I didn't come to the office for that problem. I'm used to that. I came to the office for such severe PMS that what happens is I feel like my body is being taken over by another spirit and anger and rage. So every single month and pain. So I said, listen, the first thing we have to deal with in my office in dealing with this is we have to deal with the bowel. So I'm not even going to look at the PMS yet because she was going away and I wanted to be able to supervise her. That she was. So I said, we're going to look at the bowel. So I gave her ox bile, I gave her enzymes, and I somewhat changed her diet. And the end result was that a week and a half later, actually 2 weeks later, she called me. She was on location, and she had gotten her period. And she couldn't believe it. She had gotten her period and didn't even know it was coming because it was the first month in years that she didn't go through those severe symptoms. So sometimes just by managing the bowel and the diet, we can get such dramatic changes because we're working with the liver, we're working with the gallbladder, we're releasing these hormones that are being blocked in our system and being reabsorbed. And it can be quite, like I said, dramatic, exciting to be able to see such changes in people. Go on, Carol.
So I started into this PMS business with compounded progesterone capsules. And this was based on Dr. Katarina Dalton's work in England. And she herself suffered, I believe it was seizures once a month. And that's another Whoa. Thing that can happen. And she was looking for a solution. Now, a lot of people still put out, I'll call it propaganda. They say it's progesterone to blame because that's the part of the cycle. As I mentioned, the egg is now creating progesterone and creating a good deal of it. So it must be progesterone that is causing all these symptoms. However, Dr. Dalton said no. It was progesterone that was severely needed. And so supplementing with progesterone from mid-cycle to first day of bleeding, or even 1, 2, 3 days into bleeding, with very generous dosing of progesterone could bring all those PMS symptoms down to zero when there was enough progesterone there. Now, I'm not saying that we should ignore the gut, because we cannot. That's essential. I'm not saying we should ignore how we're eating, because insulin glucose is essential to how the rest of our adrenal hormones run and our sex hormones run. These are absolutely essential. But progesterone can be a miracle. Now, we've come across this situation. John Lee was another pioneer. He wrote a book called Progesterone, The Multiple Roles of a Remarkable Hormone. And this book is really good and actually will cover some of the stuff we're talking about here. But Dr. Lee says your body only makes 20 milligrams of progesterone. And that's about all you need to take extra when you are mid-cycle to the first day of bleeding. And Dr. Lee, with that advice, created an avalanche of women who hate progesterone. There's one Facebook page I follow. It's called the Estrogen Dominance Support Group. And they have a word for this. They call it estrogen kickback. So when you take a tiny dose of progesterone, nowhere near the amount you need for your whole body, everything you know about estrogen gets worse. As I said, the seizures, palpitations, panic attacks, anxiety, water retention, headache, breast tenderness, breast soreness, on and on. These symptoms get overblown. And the solution is more progesterone right away.
How about Katarina Dalton? What dose did she give? She gave suppositories.
And suppositories, 600 milligrams was her starting dose. 600
milligrams. And you know what else she did? She went into a prison. And what she found is the women in prison, the majority of them had severe premenstrual symptoms, from anxiety to literally personality disorders that took over them once a month. And when she really looked at it, the majority of crimes that she saw were committed during that period of time. And she gave these young women who were incarcerated 600 plus milligrams.
Whatever it took to relieve the symptoms.
And what did she find? Carol, you can share this one.
She found they got calm, happy, no breast tenderness, no headache, no suicidal or homicidal thoughts as was going on. I actually listened to a little bit of a documentary. It was one of the first patients that Dr. Dalton treated in prison. And she was in prison because she started a fire in her house. And she was accused of murder because her family was still in the house. And what had happened was her dad learned about Dr. Dalton's work and went to see Dr. Dalton at the hospital she worked at and begged her to come and please help his daughter. The fortunate thing in all of this was this girl's mother tracked her daughter's behavior. She made notes every day in a diary. And sure enough, every 2 weeks, she became uncontrollable, not herself. And this landed her in the situation where she did light the fire. She wasn't intending to kill anybody. But the evidence presented by Dr. Dalton that this was a biochemical situation. She got to the prison. She took this young girl off the chemical restraint drugs she was given in isolation, gave her progesterone right away, and she turned back into the lovely woman she was the other 2 weeks of the month.
That's pretty dramatic. And young women aren't really, it's not explained to them the potential of the changes that happen in their body. They don't need to hear this negative, but they need to hear and understand what is happening throughout the month. Now, I never give personal histories, but I used to be one of those people that 1 week a month I could barely get dressed. I had so much pain and I would lie there in pain. I would sleep all day and I would feel horrible. I'd have back aches. My breasts would swell. My clothes wouldn't fit me. And I would just sleep about 2 weeks a year. Well, I happened to be working with a naturopath and we delivered babies. And what happened was that we used to intern naturopaths from different schools. And one of the naturopaths at the time was reading a book and it said, the liver and PMS. I literally grabbed the book out of her hands, said, can I borrow this and start and read it through that night. And the end result was I ended up on Vitex, which is a progesterone support herb. Wild lettuce, which is an anti-inflammatory, enzymes, and some fish oils. And the end result is I never experienced those symptoms again. Now, what we need to explain to young women is that very often they don't need to experience this. They can change their diet. They can take herbs. They can take supplements and they can take progesterone. I have, you know, Carol, we all have cases. I have a young woman who wanted to get pregnant and she had had 3 miscarriages and her heart was broken. And then she couldn't get pregnant again because she wanted to try again. And the end result is that we put her on progesterone on a low dose, 200 milligrams. And within 2 months, she was pregnant. And she said, well, now I should get off the progesterone. I said, no.
Oh, no, no.
No. Stay on it. And even you can increase it. So she increased it and she has the brightest, most beautiful baby that you can imagine. The baby's now 4 months old, but she hadn't been able to get pregnant. Have you seen that? Oh, now the number to call, 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. Join the conversation. For all the stories we have, we know you have some also. So share them with us and join the conversation. Ask questions. We can assist you. I believe this should be taught in every high school. Every young woman should.
I, Yeah, I had a coworker who was diagnosed with PCOS. And what happens if PCOS, progesterone, does not appear, often the corpus luteum is not formed by an egg being released. There is no progesterone, and your pituitary continues to signal your ovaries with luteinizing hormone, LH, and it makes testosterone go up and up and up and up. And so then you have young women who are struggling with kind of an androgenic body type, and they get acne, they get hair growth, in uncomfortable places,
cycles, obesity, fatigue, joint pains,
and you're infertile, absolutely infertile.
This is not a pretty picture. Go on, Carol.
So her doctor prescribed progesterone 100 milligrams 4 times a day.
Wow, and she said, wonderful.
It was. And she said, how should I do this? Well, she had been missing cycles too. We had no idea where she was. So I said, start now with the 100 milligrams of progesterone 4 times a day. And then when day one of bleeding starts, you can stop for 2 weeks. So she did. She started bleeding pretty quickly. And then the very next cycle, where she started again with progesterone 100 milligrams 4 times a day from 14 days from that first day of bleeding, she got pregnant, just like that.
Sounds beautiful.
That was amazing. There's a lot of infertility work going on, and I think some doctors are into all these high-tech and strange drug combinations when maybe the solution is a very simple one.
In many cases, it can be. Go on. I'm sorry.
Yep. So there's this agony of young women, and sometimes they don't even know that they have PCOS. They don't get worried about missing their cycles, or if they do, a doctor will give them happily on birth control pills, which fixes nothing. And until they decide they want to have a baby, finally they're diagnosed with PCOS. Now, what gets us started is really back to some of the things you've been saying, Corinne. These young women are eating garbage, and this insulin glucose dysregulation with high glucose and high insulin happening because of the diet pushes those young women into this syndrome. So part of the solution is not just progesterone. Part is to deal with the insulin resistance that they've created and get that fixed with a good diet.
Yes, you know, we forget, and you and I have spoken many, many times that the master gland to balance our hormones, which one do you think it is? It's insulin. Insulin stimulates the pituitary gland to decrease FSH and increase LH, which are hormones which support our fertility. They also stimulate, it also stimulates the ovaries to ripen the eggs. It also works with the liver and changes sex hormone binding globulin. And it works with the skeletal muscle. So now how do we control insulin? We control it through diet and through the foods we eat. So what are we saying? We're creating a full circle back to the individual, and they are in control. They're in control of their hormones. They can be in control of their moods. It is a beautiful cycle that can be controlled by the person themselves. Now, guess what, Carol? We got two callers.
Oh, so exciting.
When you're answering one question, don't hang up. we'll get to you as soon as we can. Hello, hi, you're live on BAI. The number to call is 212-209-2877. And your name, please?
Caller, please turn down your radio so you can hear all the input on the phone.
Gotcha, hon.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Well, I'm very happy to hear what you're speaking about. I'm 62. I'm done with all that. But I always suffered bad perimenopause the two weeks before PMS. I have two lovely daughters. Anyways, but when I would have anxiety and depression, I took myself away once to Westchester. And I think that you people should go speak there to those young women and the doctors. I had an Indian doctor say to my husband, it's not normal. This is about 9 years ago. Not normal, PMS. That's no such thing. You believe it?
On one level, yes. I love that. It's not normal not to be normal, doubled over PMS. With pain, but what's the solution?
Give me a solution.
Help us out. We know it's not normal.
What's the solution? Of course, eating right, exercising, and being in a healthy relationship with your spouse definitely can help, because I see all the people I know who have healthy relationships, they never went through perimenopause and all the stuff that I went through. So that's important, to be happy. Exercise, eat right. You're going to get depressed. Like Gary says, we all get depressed. That you don't go for a pill. You just, another vitamin, or it's all what we eat and drink, and that's for sure. Don't drink alcohol, causes depression. I would think having a drink would calm me, but then I got into a cycle. Oh, my God, after you have a drink, the anxiety's gone, then you need it again. I was like, what am I doing? So it was a process. Thank God I have two beautiful, healthy daughters. I'm going to be a grandma August 20th. Yay. We're having a little
congratulations.
Girl. Yes. And she's a pharmacist, by the way, the mommy-to-be.
Oh, you know what?
Yes.
Let's support her to be a renegade pharmacist. So she.
Yes. She's a true pharmacist, and I'm the one like is against old pills. But anyway, they should have speakers in these facilities, because all they push is pills. Yeah, they did I was the one doing yoga in this facility that I took myself away to. Would you believe it? As soon as my husband walked away, I was fine. Absolutely fine. But what?
Well, that's one solution.
Right, but that is one solution. You got that.
That is definitely one. Yes. Get yourself happy and start supporting yourself and your needs.
Right.
That's
exactly
what it's all about, is supporting yourself and your needs. And there's some teas, there's some foods that you can eat.
Well, I'm 62 now, so I don't go through that, but it's the anxiety and depression. I spoke with you, Corinne, it comes and goes, but it's situational, you can't, environmental, situational, that's what it is, yeah.
Yeah, it can be, yes, definitely.
Yes, and knowing
but it also can be your ability to cope with the same situation. And that ability to cope goes up when your hormones are balanced. So it's not just, you face the same situation. Three people standing next to each other facing the same situation. One will go crazy screaming, oh, my gosh, oh, my goodness. Another one will feel, oh, I got to run away. And another one will stand there and say, listen, let's see if we can solve this. What is a better way to approach this?
It totally depends where my head's at, because I can do enormous amounts of things. Like I said, I'm 62, and the things I do, I see younger people can't do,
some of that is that you're taking care of yourself. And when you take care of yourself, what you can accomplish and what you can create is limitless. Right. I love people when I see pomegranates. I was brought up in the Southwest where it was hot. We had a pomegranate tree. We used to walk. Well, my grandmother had a couple of them, and then we used to go to her house and check them every day to see if they were ready to pick yes. and eat. And then we had grapes and apples and olives and olive oil and green tea. All of these are healthy and good for us.
I drink green matcha all the time. I make myself matcha lattes with almond milk. That's my new coffee. And I just
put
a little
coffee
in it.
You could bring me one.
Okay, I make my own.
Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you so much.
And you know, coming off of Coney Island real quick, I live in our neighborhood of WBAR, but one day I was going up, I think it was like 29th Street. There's a gentleman in his yard. He has a pomegranate tree.
Whoa. He must wrap it in the winter.
Yeah,
because they're warm. They're warm plants.
I was so surprised to see that.
Country.
Yeah.
Well, just like fig trees, the old Italians have the fig trees.
Right.
And in the fall, they wrap them with and then they put a bucket over them. And it looks like a little a forest of buckets in neighborhoods, and all those are fig trees that are being protected from the winter. But you know, these last 3 days have been the hottest days worldwide ever recorded.
So
we might not need to wrap our trees, and we can plant a pomegranate tree in our yard. I'm making a joke. But
thanks for speaking. Thank you. Thank you for all your intelligence and sharing.
Thank you for your
show.
You empower us. Hi, you're live on BAI. Your name, please.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hi. Yes. Hi. The number to call is 212-209-2877. And your name, please?
Your show, and I love your show. I have a relative. She's a younger person. She has the following problems. She has, which she might not think, but she has mood changes. She has extremely heavy bleeding, and she has infertility issues, right?
How old is she?
Right now, I think she's 39 or 40.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm going to suggest that she try to come out to see you. That's number one. And number two, I'm going to try to see if I can get her to change some of her dietary issues. In addition to that, I have a sidebar, which is my sidebar. I know this is not probably the best time to do this. I ordered 4 nitric oxide from you on the fun drive. I still haven't gotten it. If you ever get a chance, please try to do anything to expedite it so that I can get my 4 nitric oxide, because 2 of them are for her.
Can you text mm-hmm. either me or Carol and with your address and phone number, and we'll see if we can get this to the premium department. Okay.
And what number is that? Your regular office number?
Yeah, it's on our website.
I will.
It's on our website.
Okay, I will. And all the information that you and Carol give is just so it's very plain and down to earth. You know, like I can function with it. Like you're talking about the ox bile and different things. I can understand that other places when I'm listening to things, they make it so complicated. And I think that's why you have a lot of young people who, if they're not brought up in a certain way, have an overwhelming time of trying to adjust to certain things. But like you said, just changing simple things in your diet, trying to do one thing, getting your bowel movements in order, and then going to the next step. So thank you, and thank you, Carol.
Okay, I wanted to add one thing. You said it was your niece.
When she has heavy bleeding,
she's also low at progesterone in the days from 1 to 14. This progesterone comes from the adrenal glands. So this is a time when estrogen's building up tissue.
Uh-huh.
Progesterone needs to be there so the tissue growth is not excessive. There's a balance there. So a little progesterone from the first part of the cycle would dampen the volume of the endometrium that's being built up. And then in the second part of your cycle, you shed it, or maybe you become pregnant, but you have a normal bleeding at that point.
Would you suggest this progesterone cream that y'all discussed, I think a repeat of the show several weeks ago with Dr. Shady or Shady? I'm not quite sure.
Dr. Shady, yeah. We have, I think Corinne probably might have it too, but I've four kinds of progesterone at my website, the wellnessbydesignproject.com. They're all in nice cream bases or carrier bases, and they all are a nice amount of progesterone, not the teeny tiny bits.
Okay, I would tell her that.
I would, yeah, I would appreciate it. I love the fact that she drinks teas also. And the teas really helped me. Ginger tea can be very beneficial. And lemongrass, ginger and lemongrass is so delicious. And you can add a little hibiscus to that and green tea. But then before bed, chamomile is wonderful to help sleep. All of these are, and rosemary. Rosemary is very beneficial. When I was in Mexico, they used to make these green drinks, and they would have, and you'd go to a booth and you'd be there and they'd put ice cubes. They'd put a whole lemon with the peel and all. They'd put alfalfa and ice cubes, little sugar and water, and they blend and blend and blend and then strain it and give it to you. So it's a light green, delicious tea, so refreshing on hot days like this. But more than that, really balancing to your health. Absolutely delicious. Alfalfa is very balancing to female hormones. So those are things to look at. And look at ways to balance. I had a woman who came to me who had been heavily bleeding for 2 months. And they kept on giving her synthetic progesterone, progestins, and more and more and more till she was so sick. And they wanted her to go to the hospital for a transfusion. But this was right in the peak of COVID. So getting her into a hospital for a transfusion was going to be very difficult and dangerous. And she came to me and I said, oh my goodness, you know, and I started her on progesterone. I started her on 500 milligrams. And then that slowed her bleeding down. Here she was so low in blood. It slowed her bleeding down, but it didn't stop it. We ended up with 1,100 milligrams of progesterone, and her bleeding stopped. It was miraculous. And she was able to build up and strengthen herself at the beginning of COVID. And this changed her life. So then she called me up and said, well, the bleeding's gone. Actually, she didn't call me up. And she started stopping the progesterone and the bleeding came back. So we went back up in the progesterone, but we didn't need to go as high. We didn't need to go to 1100. And we kept her on about 700 or 800 daily and the bleeding maintained, stopped, and she became healthy again. And so think of that with your niece, talk with your niece and let's get her healthy. Right now, she's not healthy. She probably has fibroids too, does she not? Hello?
No, Carol? She dropped out.
Okay, the number to call is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. So Carol and I...
We have another caller waiting.
Yep, the last caller.
That's
right.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, hi. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Yes. Well, similar, it's a story about someone else, a daughter who had not built like me, built like her father, very has been heavy since puberty, and always felt, I guess, in competition with me. Unconsciously, I wasn't aware of it, that I'm learning now much more of what I should have said. Even if you look at yourself in the mirror, it's an expression to your child that they're not good enough, whatever. There's always been that. And she's always kind of fought me on my eating choices, and I guess I was pushy. Anyway, after IVF, she had one child, and now 6 years later, I find out, you know, she's pregnant again, but I was very worried. She's 40 and overweight, and now I find out that she has gestational diabetes. I think she had it before, never told me, because her father actually died from diabetes and kidney problems, and I've always tried to emphasize health. So she says to me, you know, it's hormonal. It's not food-related. And I've learned, well, I just nod my head. And of course it's hormonal, but it's also food related. And I never see her exercise. When we go out, she'll eat whatever there is. She tries to get her protein. So she'll eat meat or cheese, but you know, it could be onion rings. She's not exercising. And when I go out to walk before or after meals, she always thinks that I'm trying to tell her what to do. I just wish I could speak to her doctor and say, can't you tell her the truth? Yes, it's hormonal,
but
they
don't believe it.
I know.
She's repeating what the doctor told her.
Yes.
Well, there is a hormone piece here, and I'd like to talk about it for a second. And it's her progesterone is not enough. And why it's not enough is it's the cause of the gestational diabetes starting off in the first place. Progesterone is needed in very, very generous amounts, like 200 nanograms per milliliter during pregnancy. That's what it gets up to.
8 times higher than normal. Go on, Carol.
Right. And when your progesterone is on the lower side, it could be as low as 50 when it should be 200. You're at risk of developing gestational diabetes. This was written about by Dr. Ray Peet. He said the fetus needs oxygen, and progesterone's the primary method of getting oxygen to the developing fetus.
When
that's
not
adequate, ramping up the blood glucose with gestational diabetes is the backup to get oxygen to the fetal brain. So there is this hormonal piece in there in spite of the diet, but the diet can also be part of the reason why she's not making enough progesterone.
But can I say something? This is very important. And this is very important because I hear in you, and as you're sharing this history, that you feel like you haven't done enough, or you weren't good enough as a mother, or you didn't communicate enough. And you know what? I need to support you in that because, you know, maybe it wasn't perfect, but truthfully, you loved her and you did the best you could at that point in your life. And once you don't feel guilty about the past, you're going to be able to have a stronger present and a better future. And you sound like you are a very caring mom. And now, with that said, I need to say we're at the end of our hour. And we want to thank you so much for calling. We send our love to you, your daughter, and your future baby. And we'll be back next week. So, Carol, wasn't this fun?
Yes, it was. I love when people call.
I love when people call. So thank you for your calls, and we will speak to you next week. You can go on our websites, and you can email us your questions. That'll help us. We can answer them on air. Okay.
So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
In conclusion, I'd like to say, remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.